As it's been said, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Why don't we welcome Him, huh? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to express my gratitude to You for the good things that You do in our lives. We have among us today folks who've had some serious physical problems and well on their way to being taken care of. Other folks who've had different kinds of problems, but Lord, You're always there and You're always at work, and we thank You for that. Now, Lord, I'm asking You to just take over. I'm asking You to not let me mess up. Lord, I just wanna be able to say, here am I as a living sacrifice. Now You do what You'll do, and we'll thank You for that, because Lord, if You're not among us, if You're not taking over, and if You're not doing these things, we just pretty much wasting our time. And we give You the praise that You are. And we are thankful that we can pray to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're a little different around here. We always get one sermon. Sometimes we get three. But it's good, isn't it? Huh? How the Lord works that out. Is this thing working up here at all? Yeah, it is. I see it is. Okay, thank you. I'd like for you to open your Bible again to the 5th chapter of Matthew. Been there a while. We're taking a little journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And we come today to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you on the 27th verse. This is verse 28, but I want to read both of them to you again. I'm reading to you from the New King James. And the only difference is that it just takes out the archaic words and instead puts in the words that we understand. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus is showing us here the heart of the problem. Now, we were talking about all the tragedies that are going around this country, especially in Dallas, in these past few days. And we're hearing a lot of mouthing going off on with all the different sections. We got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do thus and so. Let me tell you something, dear hearts. Until people's hearts get changed, it won't matter what kind of regulations we put in anywhere. Because you see, the problem is the human heart. The Bible says the human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's capable of anything at any time. And if it's going to, and I want to talk to you this morning about how to maintain purity of heart. Okay, purity of heart. And I'm going to have to speak kind of fast to do this today, to get it all in. So you're going to have to listen quick. But to help with that, I'm going to put it up on the screen too, so that I don't have to go slow so people can, you know, you'll have the time to write down whatever you want to. But you stay with me in this, would you? I want to talk to you about developing a clean thought life. Guys, especially I want to talk to you about that, because the men of this nation, well, I'm sure it's around the world, are going through a terrible time with everything that's available to them of maintaining a pure heart. We're going to talk about those things very frankly this morning. I hope very helpfully to us. Because Jesus points out that the greatest pollution problem that we have is not in our waters. It's not in our air. It's not in our forests or in our fields. The greatest pollution we have, folks, is in our minds. That's what the Bible calls our hearts. Did you know that if you want to really be happy, and if you want to be a useful person, you got to be pure and you got to be clean on the inside. It is extremely important. It's what's on the inside that counts. I understand politicians don't believe that, but I don't think I'm talking to any politicians this morning. Is that right? Okay. So I think I'm in the right place with the right message today. It has been well said that a child delights in what he has. Look at me, I got a telephone, and I can play with it in church if I want to. But a youth delights in what he does. An adult should delight in what he is. So what are you this morning, a child or an adult? Well, those of us who are mature Christians, it's far more important to be something than to have something. Now, the thing that you and I are charged to do from Scripture is to be pure. You have to change the inside before you can change the outside. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. It's what's on our inside that motivates us. A fellow by the name of Vance Packard wrote a book called Hidden Persuaders. This is what he said. He said, more than 90% of the things that you buy, are you listening? More than 90% of the things that you buy, those purchases are based on emotion and impulse. Did you know that? Emotion and impulse. Now that's kind of amazing. There is a hidden persuader that's on the inside. What you think is what you wind up doing. Okay? What you allow in your mind is what you wind up doing. That's the reason why, and this thing is going to do this. I don't know if you can straighten it out for me or not. It just comes and goes, and we'll make it work, won't we? That's the reason why the biggest bunch of hypocrites in the world are these social scientists who tell us that what a person sees does not affect what they do, and it does not affect them as a person. Now, if that's so, why in the world are people willing to spend millions of dollars for 1 minute of advertising on the Super Bowl if what you see does not affect what you do? Huh? Of course it does. I mean, anybody could know that. Jesus knows that. And so the Lord here speaks about what happens on the inside. Here in America, my friends, we have reached the bottom of the garbage can. You listening? So far as pornography and solicitous materials are concerned. Number of years ago, Madonna, you know who I'm talking about, wrote a book entitled Sex. When it was released, they released 800,000 copies in the first printing. They were in six different languages when they were placed on the market. You know who James Dobson is? Most of you do. James Dobson was the principal founder and speaker of Focus on the Family. I want to quote what he said about that. He said, "The Madonna book is without question the most outrageous single event that has occurred in my lifetime." Now, that's not just anybody who said that. James Dobson said, "I am angry about those who are what those are doing with this younger generation." He said that this book will be seen by literally millions of kids and will stir them to do things that will ultimately destroy their families. This is a problem of the heart. And unless the heart gets changed, it's just going to get worse. Just going to get worse. That's why Jesus said, Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in her heart. Well, what's wrong with pornography? Number one, it is psychological poison. Did you hear me say that? It is psychological poison. It poisons your mind. That's what Jesus is talking about when he said what he did in our mind. Our heart is our mind. Victor Klein, a professor of psychology at the University of Utah, said there are four steps in pornography, and this is how the devil gets a claw into somebody's brain. There is, first of all, an addiction effect. You guys listening? If you're playing with pornography, you're playing with fire. You're talking about something that can literally destroy your life and the lives of those people who are around you. It's addictive. It's almost always a male who gets hooked on pornography. It moves from addition to escalation. Now, what he means by that is in time, it takes more deviant behavior. It takes more explicit materials for that same person to get his kicks. It's like a drug. You have to go deeper and deeper and move more and more into hardcore drugs to get the same kick. And it's the same thing is true with pornography. First, there's addiction, and then there's escalation. And then thirdly, the person becomes desensitized to it. Dr. Klein said what was originally shocking or seen as antisocial becomes acceptable. And the person is no longer shocked or offended by the material. Third step. Fourth step, he says, is this. Almost invariably, the individual is tempted and many times does act out what he sees. Now, he may try to act that out with his partner, his wife, other members of his family, sometimes his children, to engage in sexual activities, many of which are deviant. When I was in Missouri City as pastor, I was invited to attend a thing the police department put on that dealt with pornography. I can tell you all these things this professor is saying are absolutely true. And when that day was over, folks, I could not take a long enough shower to get the filth off of me. That's how nasty and dirty. It's psychological poison. Addiction, escalation, desensitization, and then finally, the acting out of things. It is also, listen, social sickness. It is social sickness. No less than a Harvard professor wrote a book in which he sees Americans as victims of sex mania. That includes you guys on the back row trying to look wise. Okay? He says it is malignant as cancer. Most of us in here today have had some dealings with cancer. Somebody we love or something or somebody that in our families. Cancer. There are eggheads, and you know what I mean when I say egghead, don't you? That will try to tell you that pornography is a legitimate outlet to release tensions. Now look, if you believe that, then you also believe that you can cure a drug addict with more drugs. Or that you can cure an alcoholic with alcohol. Or that you can put out a fire with gasoline. I don't suggest you try any of those things. It is absolute nonsense to make such statements. Statistics tell us that in America, and these statistics came from several years ago, and so no doubt they are worse now, one out of every four baby girls will be sexually abused by an adult male. One baby boy in 10 will be sexually abused by an adult male. A trained policeman said this, "Not everyone who looks at pornography is a sex deviant, but every sex deviant looks at it." not only is there the psychological damage, not only is there the social damage, but there is also the domestic damage. Homes are literally being torn apart by this kind of thing. Robert J. Stoller, who is a psychiatrist, said, and I quote him, "Hostility is the essential dynamic of all pornography." He said God meant the sex acts to express love between a man and his wife. And then he uses that act to express his great, the great and holy love of Christ for us. Dr. Stoller said, "If a man saturates his mind with pictures and stories of rape, torture, and murder in connection with sex, how is he likely to treat his own wife? How is he likely to treat his children? Any counselor can tell you the heartache and the devastation to the home that has come in this nation to people through pornography. Domestic damage." I'm talking to you about a very serious thing, aren't I? Sometimes we don't understand how serious things are, but I suggest you really pay attention this morning because this is where we are. By far the most important thing that comes from pornography is the spiritual destruction. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. "But when every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own just and enticed, and then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." James went on to say, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." And that's why Christ said, "Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." It is something that brings spiritual death. Listen, gentlemen, it is not something you will grow out of. It is not something you will grow out of. It will be with you for the rest of your life, and it will ruin everything you touch. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? This is a serious matter. It is not possible for you to practice isolation. That cannot be done these days. And so you had better learn something that's going to protect you in this day, because we have reached the absolute bottom of the garbage can. How can you keep your mind pure? Through many, many years, men have searched in caves and deserts and remote islands and jungles and mountain peaks, and they've knelt, they've lain prostrate, they've swung from ropes, they've pierced themselves through and endured all kinds of self-inflicted punishment to try to get to be pure. That doesn't work. Too many folks have tried it, trying to be pure, but to no avail. You know, a little boy was asked this proverb, "Cleanliness is next to." And he completed it this way. He said, "Cleanliness is next to impossible." Well, you might feel that way, but look here. I'm trying to tell you this morning, there is hope. See, there is hope. Jesus would never have given such a warning if there was not also a way of escape. So, his words again, "Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And ladies, that goes both ways. All right? Goes both ways. Now, we're going to leave the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to invite you to go to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. I think it shut off on me, guys. You may have to come turn this back on here. Can you get it up there? Oh, it's up there. Okay. That's not what I have on my screen. I love electronics, don't you? I really love them. What I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to try to give you three steps so that you can maintain a pure heart. Are you interested in that? How to maintain a pure heart. These are things that I've learned from the Word of God and also tested by experience. Psalm 119, I'm going to begin with verse 9. Please, Dad, all of you, listen to this. You have to teach your son. You have to teach your children these things. Mothers, would you also listen to these and view what's going to be on the screen? Especially all you young men and women back there in the back, you teenagers, you need to listen to this. Every grandparent needs to pay attention. We are dealing with a very, very serious matter in America today. The battle today is for the mind, the heart, and the soul. That is our very citadel, and it's under terrific attack. The things that you are seeing happening in this nation today are because of the human heart. That's where we ought to be concentrating our efforts. This is what David said in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And I'm just going to read this whole passage. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, beyond any shadow of any doubt, the subject the psalmist is talking about here, David, is how to have a pure thought life. And I know I'm looking at a bunch of people and I'm pointing a finger at me too who have a problem with this. None of us needs to think that we're exempt. This is God's word to us today. Look again at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? I want to give you three steps to this morning. My prayer right now is that God the Holy Spirit will literally etch these things on your consciousness, put them right in your mind. If you don't need these things, I'll bet you know somebody who does. Isn't that right? If you're not having problems with sexual lust, well, listen. You can apply what I'm about to say to any problem. The problem of anger or pride or gluttony or any other kind of problem, because the principle is exactly the same. So let's see what the Lord has to say. Number one. First thing you got to do is admit your problem and then get clean. Admit your problem and get clean. Back in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? When he says his way has to be cleansed, what that means is you know that the way you have is dirty. His way was dirty. He has to cleanse his way. So let's look at that word, way. You see that? How can a young man cleanse his way? The Hebrew word there has the meaning How do you go back? You don't go back on these things, do you? All right, we'll catch up. The Hebrew word has the idea of a rut. You ever seen a rut? Somebody has said a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Well, that may be true. But a rut is something that's down in the dirt, down in the mice. You can get stuck in a rut. You know, you can do that. This simply means this is a person who has a groove in his mind. A person with a filthy mind has a groove in his mind. He's got a one-track mind. He has a muddy rut in his mind. His thoughts just run in that rut, like the wagon wheels get down in the rut in a road. This is what the psalmist is talking about. This is the way that he's talking. Now, you have to admit that something there is wrong. It may be pornography. Maybe you're not using pornography. It may be some thought process that you have. It might be lusting after some secretary in your office or some young girl who sits in the classroom with you or your neighbor's wife. Whatever it is, it may be some secret fantasy, but you must admit that you have this problem. It's a problem. If you don't admit your problem, you are never going to get any help with it. Just a fact. Admit your problem and then get clean. God will never cleanse an excuse. God will never cleanse an alibi. But God will always cleanse a sin. You can be clean. And you can be clean today. It does not matter what the addiction has been. It does not matter what the problem has been. Doesn't matter what you have been looking at or what you've been thinking or what you've been feeling or what you've been doing. You can walk out of this place today as clean as the pure driven snow, made clean by God's word. So listen again. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The instrument of cleansing that we're talking about here is the word of God. If you got it with you, hold it up if you do. Let me see. You got the word of God? That's the instrument of cleansing that we're talking about. If you don't first get clean, you will never win this war that we're talking about. So first of all, you have to admit the problem and then get clean. Jesus said in John 15:3, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you." The word clean there is the word katharos. Katharos. That's the very word that we get our English word catharsis from. A catharsis is a cleansing on the inside. Jesus is able to make you clean on the inside through his word. He said, "You are clean through the word which I've spoken to you." I want you to picture the cleansing tides of Calvary. The fresh breezes of the Holy Spirit as they are blowing through you and washing over you and making you absolutely clean. What does it say in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 9? You can quote this with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say from some unrighteousness. He said from all unrighteousness. That means every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's here today can be absolutely, totally, perfectly clean. Now, there's something in your heart that says that's not possible. Don't listen to that because that's your adversary. And I'm going to tell you something about your adversary. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't. You'd think, oh, he hates my... No, he doesn't hate you. He doesn't care anything about you. He's absolutely indifferent to you. But you see, God loves you. And Satan knows if he can destroy you, he can hurt God. And so he's going to do anything he can in his power to destroy you. And you're the one who let him. Huh. Imagine being totally, absolutely clean. I'll bet you everybody in here has got things in our past that we wish wasn't there. And every once in a while, the adversary brings them up, doesn't he? And reviews them for us in living color. And beats us down in the ground just to keep us under his thumb. See? But you can walk out of here today with all that in the past, washed clean from all of those things. That's God's promise to it. Absolutely spotless, squeaky clean. Before you can stay clean, it makes sense to realize you got to first of all get clean. Isn't that right? You got to first of all get that way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you ever clean out your garage or some room or your attic or some such place? Something that accumulates a lot of stuff. And so you go out there and you sweep it all out and you get it all cleaned up and all the stuff carried off and it looks just right. And, you know, once it's clean, it looks good and it's easier to keep clean. But if you don't get it clean the first time, it's still going to be a dump, isn't it? Isn't that right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. First of all, you got to get clean if you want to be able to stay clean. So you admit your problem. You do it like this. Yes, Lord, I got a problem. Bow your head. I said bow your head. I know you weren't listening. Now say, Lord, I got a problem. I got a secret addiction. I have an inward moral impurity. It's there. I know it's there. But I know your blood is sufficient. Your word, your promises, the authority of God's word will cleanse me and make me clean. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, that's step number one. Listen, look up here. If you don't take step number one, the rest of what I have to say to you to do will do you absolutely, totally no good. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, if you want to waste your time, that's your business. Okay. Step number one, admit your problem, get clean. Step number two is to affirm your purpose and stay clean. Admit your problem and get clean. Step number two, affirm your purpose to stay clean. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandment. The scourge of the 21st century is half-hearted Christians. It's just half-hearted Christians. See, if you don't get clean, I guarantee you, you're not going to stay clean. It's the way it works. But you can get clean and not stay clean unless not only do you admit your problem, but you affirm your purpose to stay clean. There is within us every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber, every corpuscle, everything in our heart needs to be seeking after God and His purpose for us. Verse 10, Psalm 119, With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments. Listen, half-heartedness is an insult to holy God. Half-heartedness is an insult to a holy God, and it will do you no good whatsoever. No good whatsoever. You're in a battle for your mind. And if you're being half-hearted, you're going to lose the battle. I can't say it any plainer than that. You're just going to lose the battle. Listen to James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm talking about having a whole pure heart before God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Ever come to the place where you just made up your mind that you're going to get clean and stay clean? I'm not talking about taking a shower. I'm talking about clean before God, getting clean and staying clean. Have you ever said, I will do this by the grace of God? In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Have you ever purposed that in your heart? That's where we are right now. We either will or we won't at this particular time. You ever said, with my whole heart, I am determined by the grace of God, I am determined I will not behave in this manner anymore. Well, now I'm really getting into your wheelhouse, aren't I? I'm reading your mail, aren't I? Stomping on toes, they say. Well, put your rocks up because I'm in the shape you're in. Okay? We're just talking about how to get out of this mess. The Bible says in Job 31:1, Job is talking. And he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. You young men on the back row would do well to pay attention to this one. Job said, why should I look upon a maid? And he made a covenant with his eyes. To do what? He made a covenant to look at her countenance. That's nowhere near her hips, guys. A person's countenance is right here. This is where Job made a covenant with his eyes to look at another person. Fellas, when you're looking at a woman's eyes like this, it's going to be a lot harder for you to look on her with lust. Did you know that? And that's exactly what Job was saying to us. I made a covenant with my eyes. Job was saying, I'm just not going to do it. Have you got the guts to do that? Have you got what it takes to do that? Can you rise to this equation? This occasion? Can you? You got what it takes? I'm going to make a covenant before God right now to just look at the countenance of a person. That's where they are. That's where the person is in their countenance. We have to come to that place. If we don't come to that place, I guarantee you we are going to go down. And then we're going to go down again, and then we're going to go down again, and we're going to wind up saying, whatever happened to my life? How did I get in the kind of shape that I'm in? How did this happen to me? It happened because you made a decision to do what was right, or to just keep on doing what you've been doing. It's dumb. We are not allowed by God to be half-hearted about this thing. We're just not allowed. You, me, us alone have to make a decision. Nobody else can make that decision for you. Guys, your wife cannot make that decision for you. Wives, your husband can't make that decision. Young people, your parents can't make that decision. They've already tried to make it, but they cannot make it. You must admit your problem and get clean. And secondly, you must affirm your purpose to stay clean. Stay clean, no matter what. And it's a matter of your whole heart. I was reading about these little ermine animals a while back. You know, they're solid white. I don't guess they make fur coats out of them anymore because people react to that sort of thing. But I was reading about these little ermines, you know. And folks would go out into the wild to hunt these things, and they used dogs to hunt these ermines. They'd locate the den where the ermine was living. And in the top of that den, there'd be a little small aperture, just a little small hole that the ermine could crawl down into. And they'd find that place. And then these hunters would stop it with mud and filth. They'd just put it in that little aperture, in that little hole, around the mouth of that den. And then when the dogs would come and track that little animal, and he would see those dogs coming, he'd head for his home. He'd head for that place where he could get away from them. But then he wouldn't go underground, you see. He'd see the dirt and the filth that was around the hole, and rather than to have to go through that dirt and filth, that ermine would turn around and fight that dog. Turn around and fight the dog. He would not defile himself. He would not get his coat white. Isn't that an amazing, that white coat dirty? He just wouldn't do it. Isn't that the most amazing thing? You that way? You got what it takes to be that way. I wonder how important it is you to be pure. Young man, do you really want to be pure? Young lady, do you really want to be pure? Hey guys, is it in your heart to be a pure person before God? Can you say with David, with your whole heart? Well, if we can't do that, we might as well forget it. But what we got to do is admit our problem and get clean. And then we've got to determine, to purpose in our lives to stay clean. And if we don't, I guarantee you, we're going down. If ever there was a generation of people who are going to go down, this is the day and this is the generation. This is it. Right here. This word is to you. All right, here's the third step. Not only do you admit your problem and get clean, number two, you must affirm your purpose to stay clean. But number three, you must apply your protection to keep clean. It's not enough just to get clean. It's really not enough just to determine that you're going to stay clean. You've got to get some help. And you've got to apply that protection to your life in order to get clean. Your protection, are you listening? Are you interested? Your protection is the Word of God. What's your protection? The Word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. Now, let me tell you how you use the Bible as an antidote against pornography. How to use the Word of God. Jesus told those disciples that he had sanctified them through the truth, and the word is the truth. So here's how we do it. Step number one. You didn't want to see that, did you? I can't do that.
I just can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. You can do anything you determine you want to do. You know what you're really saying? I don't want to do that. And I don't want to do that means I'm really too stinking lazy to do that. You know, I just don't want to have to go through the effort to get it done. Well, I'm trying to share with you how you get out of this mess. Number one, you must memorize the Word of God. What did David say in verse 11? Your word have I hid in my heart. For what reason? That I might not sin against you. That's black ink on white paper. And your word have I hid in my heart that I should not sin against you. Listen, the Word of God, the Bible, is your one true protection. You have to load up on the Word of God, because even though you may purpose to stay clean, you will not stay clean if you do not have all these things of the Word of God in your heart. These hath God married, and no man shall part. Dust on the Bible, sin in my heart. Goes together. You need to get into the Word of God. Now, you know, I've got to say it to you again. It is absolutely necessary for every born-again believer of any age, every day of their life, to have a time with God. It's just absolutely necessary. We've got to have that quiet time, a time when we're literally taking mega doses of the Word of God. If not, that's why you're failing in these matters of purity. No matter what we say, if we're not hiding the Word of God in our hearts, we're going to go down. The Bible is this, the Bible is that, the Bible is wonderful, the Bible is good, the Bible is great. So let me ask you a question. What's worth more, a gold nugget or a dime? Well, you say it's easy. The gold nugget. Okay, let's take them and put them on the ocean floor. Now which one is worth more? Neither one. On the ocean floor, the Word of God is no more than a 10-cent novel to you, you see, if you're not reading it. You hear what I'm saying? If you're not reading it, it's not worth any more to you than a dime novel. We have to memorize the Word of God. That means that's the way we get it in our heart. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You like that verse? You need to hide that verse in your heart. You need to hide it in your heart. Say, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. Unless you are mentally deficient, you can memorize. How many of you have a telephone? Some of you are scared to admit it. Well, do you know that phone number? How do you know that phone number? You don't read it off the palm of your hand every time, do you? You got it memorized. Do you know your address? Where you live? How did you get that knowledge? You memorized it. I'll bet you most of us don't know our license plate number, though, because we don't have to write it down on our checks anymore. We can memorize. That's what I'm trying to say to you. How does memorization change a person? How does it change a person? Well, listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Just listen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Every one of those things are found in the Word of God. Do you know that's a description of a person? Who do you think it is?
That's a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God says, listen, fill your mind with that which is right. I've said this to you a number of times. God has been so gracious as to create us so that we're incapable of thinking of two thoughts at the same time. Our minds cannot think of two thoughts at the same time. And if you're thinking what you ought to think, guess what? You're not going to be thinking what you shouldn't be thinking. And what you ought to think is the Word of God. And to think the Word of God, you've got to hide the Word of God in your heart. These things that are pure and lovely and virtuous and of any praises, think on these things. In other words, we have to load up on the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? Does it? Not just read it, but commit it to memory. There is an ocean parasite that feeds on plants and on mollusks and other things. The first thing that parasite does is attack the shell. That's the muscle that holds the shell tight. And it weakens that muscle. And when the muscle is relaxed, then it's able to go in and feed on the animal itself. Listen. An impure thought is just like that parasite. So you've got to have an antidote. You've got to have something inside of you that dominates your thinking. You load up on the Word of God. It's a pretty good idea when you go to bed at night that your last thoughts are the Word of God. Take a verse of Scripture. Think about it. Meditate on it. When you wake up in the morning, generally, your first thoughts ought to be about the Word of God and a word of praise to God and a word that you have memorized from the Word of God. Doesn't have to be 10 verses, maybe just a verse that you've committed to your memory. Secondly, not only must you memorize the Word of God, you must also personalize the Word of God. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Now, what good is it to memorize a verse of Scripture if you don't understand it, huh? If you don't understand it. Not only must you memorize it, you have to personalize it and understand it. Facts from the Bible are not enough, even if they're wonderful facts. You cannot separate the Word of God, and you cannot separate God from His Word. God has to take that word and teach it to you. I heard about a new Christian who was being discipled by a fellow by the name of Charlie. Charlie was teaching him the Word of God. And the man would go and sit at Charlie's table, and Charlie would say, this word means this, and it means this, and it means this. And Charlie was just a good Bible teacher. One day the man was at his own home and he was reading his Bible and he didn't understand what it was saying. And he said, oh, how I wish Charlie were here. And he said, it seems like the Holy Spirit said to him, why don't you ask me? I'm the one who taught Charlie. Huh? You got a lot of help with it if you'll use it. See, listen. God actually wants to teach you His Word. He wants you to understand His Word. If you could pray this prayer, oh God, teach me Your Word. Lord, I want to know Your Word. It's not enough to memorize it. I want to personalize it. All right. We're running out of time here. Are you still with me? Okay. Because I want to give you. They're all on this one screen. Four little steps that you can take, five steps that you can take to personalize every passage of Scripture that you read. And I hope you'll be wise enough to put these where you can find them. Questions to ask yourself. First one is there a lesson to learn? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a new thought I can take with me? The answers to those five questions will cause the Word of God to just come to life in your mind, if you'll do that. Memorize the Word of God. Personalize the Word of God. And number three, verbalize the Word of God. Verse 13 says, "With my lips I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Now, when you memorize it and when you personalize it, then you'll begin to share it. You'll begin to verbalize it, to speak it. Do you see how confession and possession are linked together? Well, look, when everybody else is swearing and cussing, telling dirty stories, begin to articulate the Word of God that you have in your heart. Begin to speak that. Use it in your prayer. Use it in your prayer. Use it in your testimony. Speak to yourself, and God's Word will move from your heart to your lips and from your lips back to your heart again. And the more the Word of God you try to give away, the more the Word of God will stick to you, I promise you. It'll stick to you. Now, that's what the Bible calls in the book of Revelation the word of our testimony. You've seen that before. The word of our testimony. And the Bible says concerning the devil that they overcame him with the word of their testimony. Boy, that's dynamite, isn't it? You hide his word in your heart. You have to learn how to give your testimony, to memorize the word of God, to personalize the word of God, verbalize the word of God, speak, share, sing the word of God. Didn't know it was going to be so involved, did you? Well, we want it to be really easy. You know, do one thing and doesn't work like that. Never has. Never really will. We're talking about staying clean and pure in a vile and filthy world. How many of y'all know this world is vile and filthy? Okay. I'm glad you know that. So memorize it, personalize it. And number four, vitalize the Word of God. Vitalize it. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Do you rejoice in God's Word more than in all riches? Is that true for you? Does God's Word mean more to you than any other possession you could possibly possess? If God were to come to your house and put his hand on something that's very dear and marvelous and wonderful to you and say, "Whose is this?" What would you say to him? Would you mean it? You better mean it. God knows what you know, who's lying and who's not. David said, "I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect in all your words." What that means is we need to learn how to stand in awe of the Word of God. Stand in awe. Have respect for God's ways. Psalm 119:16, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your words." All right, look at these words in verse 14. There's the word rejoice. In verse 15, there's the word respect. And in verse 16, there's the word delight. Vitalize the Word of God. Begin to understand just how wonderful God's Word really is. Now, let me tell you what an impure mind is. An impure mind is trying to find contentment some other place. Some other place. It means that you've bought into the devil's lies. You've believed that he said this is where joy is. This is where fulfillment is. This is where riches are. And if you don't get to this place and do these things, you're going to really miss out. Well, let me tell you something with all the strength in my heart, if I can. You will never miss out on anything if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You'll never miss out on anything. I can tell you why. For a long time now, I've found joy and fulfillment in the Lord. And to have respect for God's Word, to rejoice in God's Word, to know the riches of God's Word, and to vitalize it. Let me warn you about something. Don't sell out too cheap to Satan. He lies to you. He will never give you what he promises. He's the father of all lies. Don't sacrifice what's important on the altar of the immediate. Don't do that. Find fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're getting close. Internalize it. Verse 15. I will meditate in your precepts. You know about meditation? You know what meditation is? Well, it really has two ideas. But the first one is, you've heard this expression, chewing the cud. Most of you have seen an old cow lay down under a tree and chew her cud, you know. We understand that cows have four stomachs. And they can load up on alfalfa or hay and clover and barley, whatever, and they can put different stuff in different stomachs that they want to. And then when they go out and lay down, that old cow will say, well, you know, clover would be pretty good, so just kind of brings up some of that clover from whichever stomach that's in and begins to chew on that clover. And then after a while, if she'd rather taste alfalfa, she has the ability to do that too. Just bring up that cud and chew on that for a while, you know. When she's assimilated all of that down into those stomachs, it's there for her to draw on. The word meditate has the idea not only of chewing the cud and things you've hidden in your heart, meditating on those things, but also of humming. Somebody said you had a little tune in your head today and didn't know where that came from. And you just go around humming that tune. That's how God wants his word to be to us. See, he wants his word to be like that. Like maybe just the first verse of the first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it's just stuck in our head. And that's in there. That'll change your life, won't it? If that's what's in your head all the time. Now in Psalm 119:23, princes also sit and speak against me. But your servant meditates on your statutes. Verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. And then verse 148, my eyes are awake through the night, watches that I may meditate on your word. Meditate, meditate, meditate. All that takes time. All that takes time. But where do you start? You start with a pure heart. And then you determine that you're going to keep a pure heart. And then you protect yourself with the Word of God. Make it just that simple for you. The first car that I ever had was a stick shift. And it was a four in the floor. Well, it was an A model Ford. It was four in the floor. Boy, I ground a lot of those gears because I had to remember, put in the clutch, give a little gas, let out on the clutch, then shift gears, you know, and do that four times. And when you're thinking about it, it's hard to do, isn't it? But then after a while, you don't have to think about it. You just do it all. It's all automatic. What I'm trying to say to you today is, all this needs to be second nature to you. All this just needs to be second nature to you. Hide God's word in your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it. It will change you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll do that, what Satan has to say to you is not going to be near as strong as it used to be. It's just not going to be. And you're going to find that you're making progress. You're going to find out that things that just you beat you in the ground aren't going to do it anymore because you've overcome it by the Word of God. You're not only pure and clean, you've determined you're going to stay clean. And you know what? God's going to help you do that. He's going to help you do that. Now, if we want to change our nation, we're going to change our hearts. Okay? Now, let's start with ours. Let's start with our heart. Not some church on the other side of town. Not some church in Dallas. Not somewhere up in Washington. Let's start with our heart. Let's get our heart changed. This one. This is the one that's got to change. So today, as we get through here, we're going to pray a little differently. And if you will, I'd like for you to pray these words after me. Okay? Heavenly Father, change my heart. Make it pure. Keep it pure. Help me to learn the meaning of your word. Help me to hide your word in my heart. Help me to speak your word to people around me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, folks, I probably did just a terrible job on this thing. I always do when I get something up there on the screen. But it's definitely from my heart to you. If you'll take God's word and put it in your heart and get clean, admit your need, get clean, stay clean, you're going to begin changing things around you. Did you know that? You find out you don't want to do some things that you used to think were wonderful. But God didn't think they were so wonderful. But you want to just walk away from it. It's not important to you anymore. Have you ever had that experience? Well, I'm offering it to you if you hadn't, okay? Now, let me tell you this. Ron's got some children of inmates that are in prison who are going to need some help with school supplies. Coming up this fall, getting all the supplies that they need. Those are families who are pretty desperate, you know, and they need some help. So he said, just simply tell you this: if you're interested in helping with those kids, you can talk to him after the service. Isn't that right? And he'll tell you all about that. On the 22nd of this month, I'm going up to Roswell, do a little street preaching, right?
Yes, sir.
Little street preaching, yes, sir, and in Roswell. I'm going to go up there and do that.
And stand in front of a chiseled statue.
Yeah. I covet your prayers on that, okay? I'd appreciate it so much if you'd allow us to do that. Maybe the Lord will be gracious and there'll be folks who will get saved, get their lives turned around. You got to speak the word, right? You got to speak it, get it out, tell the truth. Before you get home today somewhere, when you get home, find a closet. Find some place to get alone with God and get cleansed. Confess your sins to Him. Confess doesn't mean argue with God about them. Confess means agree with Him. Just agree with the Holy Spirit who brings these things to your mind and get yourself clean. Make up your mind you're going to stay pure. This little thing right here is the best thing I ever heard. Do I always manage to get it done? No, I don't always manage to get it done. And I always get convicted of it and start doing this again, right? You betcha. So we grow as we do. I will encourage you to do that as well. I've tried to preach truth to you today as much as I know how. I have. So I hope you'll hide that in your heart too. Okay? I love you guys. Sometimes it's amazing to me just how much. I'm one of these people that has a hard time loving folks. I do. I have a hard time with it. It takes a while. But boy, I'll tell you what, God's put a love in my heart for you guys. So He's got something in mind. He's fixing to do something. Let's hang together on it, okay? Let's don't let anything scatter the flock. Let's just do. Okay. Let's stand. Here's the first thing we're going to hide in your heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen and amen and amen. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us salvation. Thank You for making a place in heaven for us. And thank You that You promised never to leave us. Bless these folks as they go to their homes. Keep them safe. I ask, Lord, You'd keep the evil one away from them. Bring us back together to worship You in truth and in spirit. Because we're able to pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.